Before we get started with today's show, I want to tell you about another great ESPN podcast, the ESPN College Football Podcast. The ESPN College Football Podcast is now 5 days a week. Hosts Kirk Herbstreit, David Pollack, and Kevin Negandhi are back and joined this year by Reese Davis, Matt Berry, Paul Feinbaum, Booger McFarland, and Joey Galloway. From weekend reaction to Monday mornings to previews, the ESPN College Football Podcast has it covered by the voices and perspectives you'll want to hear from. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Also, ESPN Plus subscribers, join the ESPN Plus Fantasy Football League now for a chance to win $250,000. Sweepstakes is U.S. only, 18 or older. No purchase necessary. Visit ESPN.com/ESPN Plus football rules for full details and official rules. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bobani Jones. Thanks for listening wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. My bad, y'all. I went on vacation and didn't tell y'all I was going on vacation. I was just a little bit too excited about my victory in the Right Time charity trivia contest. You'll have to forgive me for getting a little caught up. But yes, I went on vacation last week. And this is the time of week, though, we stay on our normal schedule where we have a guest join us. And joining us now is an illustrious semifinalist from the Right Time Charity Trivia Tournament, Joel Anderson. I have to apologize to you that we did not have a third place match, because if we had had a third place match, then you might have been able to go out on a dub.
Now, see, I talked with Gabe about this. I was like, are you sure this isn't a setup? I was like, because football season is starting. I was like, what do you all want me here for? And we even texted each other yesterday. I was like, hey, this ain't no setup, is it?
It wasn't a setup. That's not a setup.
Do you want me to congratulate you, man?
No.
You know, so you want me to say, you know, I mean, what? Because I'm not going to.
I was congratulating you. Congratulations on making it to the semifinals.
Look, I mean, first of all, I have no problem losing to Howard Bryant. I mean, you all did kind of tip the pitches to him a little bit. That's fine, to use a baseball phrase, since y'all are big on baseball on this podcast, apparently. So, yeah, I know you tipped the pitches to him a little bit, but that's fine. You know, I didn't go to a fancy Ivy League school. I'm not a savant. I'm not Ralph Wiley Redux. You know what I'm saying? I'm not Nick Wright, who, you know, my mama sent me a viral video of him from Facebook yesterday and say, this is a must listen. I'm nobody like that. That's fine.
You are a semi-finalist in the Right Time Charity Trivia Tournament, where being invited itself was an honor.
You know what? Your beautiful little t-shirt, man. Your little tie-dye t-shirt. It's great for my hair when I got out of the shower in the morning. You know what I'm saying? To dry the hair up. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah. Okay. Okay.
What's
so interesting about this is, wasn't nobody even throwing no shade at you, but all that Southside insecurity coming out, and you just can't even help yourself. You just got to come up here. You know what I'm saying? You lashed out at Mina. You ain't have to do that. You know what I mean? Right.
The narrative is changing because you knew that. I didn't lash out at her. I was lashing at the haters. But that's fine. I know this is the biggest thing that ever happened to Waller County. I'm hype.
Your general lashing and the fact that your lashing continues right now is really unnecessary, because I was not trying to throw no shade at you. I was trying to big you up. I was trying to give you props. And two, since you brought it up, I would like to think that you could give some measure of congratulations to me and a shout out to the babies.
Hey, you know what? This is what I should do. Congratulations to the babies, diapers. That's a beautiful thing that you're doing there, Bomani. But I mean, Gabe, I really want to talk to him for it. I know he can't come on, but I just want to know why y'all didn't play the Eyes of Texas at the end of your victory. I notice how you get down. It's like you, Bijan Robinson, Mrs. Sarkeesian, out there standing at attention for your little important choo-choo song. So what, are you going to play the Eyes of Texas celebrate your victory? Because you didn't get a proper... Isn't that how it goes?
Now, for those of you who don't know, Joel went to TCU. Joel played football at TCU. And I don't know if you heard the way that I celebrated this victory after winning the finals of the Right Time Charity Trivia Tournament. But I'm just curious, what do you think Gary Patterson would tell me if he heard that celebration? How would you think that he would tell me not to act? What do you think your guy Gary Patterson would say to me about that? I got news for you. It'd be worse than the Eyes of Texas.
I know that's deflecting. That's fine.
No, that's not deflecting. I'm just saying.
That's deflecting.
That's the man that helped change the direction of your life. And I just thought that maybe you would know, you know what I'm saying? Like, how he would react to hearing a young African-American man being so exuberant about victory.
Look, all I'm saying is that I know that you all celebrate in a particular way for your favorite team. Just wanted you to, you know, have the same kind of fun that Mrs. Sarkisian had this Saturday when she was out on the field. You know, But look, obviously I had it mistaken. You know, maybe you're not as big a fan of UT as I thought. My bad.
Yes. I mean, I've been considering things, Joel. You know what I'm saying? We talked about this. They've made it kind of impossible for me. It's kind of hard to put on for that operation.
It's going to be hard to quit. They look, even I can't hate, they look good on Saturday. So it's going to be hard for you to resist. I already know.
We shall see. It's a little difficult. I wanted to have Joel on for a couple reasons. One of them, and this is the big one, maybe we'll get to the second one at some point. I just want to give you guys a little behind the scenes situation of what's going on here. Now, those of you who have been following me for a while seem to notice what feels like a pattern. I think it's probably confirmation bias, but it still feels like a pattern. And the pattern feels like I go on vacation and something that is a wheelhouse topic for us comes up. For example, in 2016, my last day of work was Friday, I think the 25th or something like that. And then the 26th, Colin Kaepernick took that knee.
Ooh.
Last year, on my birthday, on the 26th, Wyndham boys decided they wasn't going to play in the bubble. That was on that day. I was on vacation. This seems to happen. I don't know why, but these things pop up when I'm on vacation. And while I was not working, this story came up about Bishop Sycamore, right? Now, we'll get into the particulars of the story in a second. But after I got back off vacation, I hit Gabe. I was like, yo, we need to get Joel on so we can talk about this Bishop Sycamore. People are expecting it. And Gabe was like, I think the story will be like 2 weeks old by then. First of all, it'll only be 1 week old. It would not be 2 weeks old. But I was like, nah, I think the people have been anticipating that we would bring this. So thank you to Mina Kimes, who was going to come on and give us a bit of an NFL preview. But sometimes you got to realize where you came from. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to lean in on your past.
Well, I'm glad to knock Mina out again, once again, to unseat her. So that's great. That's fine. I'm happy with it.
But on Sunday of last week, yes, I looked up at a TV and IMG was playing this Bishop Sycamore. And they were beating the snot out of them, man. And I was like, oh, Bishop Sycamore, I don't know. And they was playing at the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. That's so huge. I'm thinking, man, okay, this Bishop Sycamore, they must be some kind of local powerhouse. And then we got to looking at it and find out that the ESPN people were like, yo, something ain't right? Something don't smell right. They said they asked the coach about his players. And he was like, yeah, we got a bunch of Division I prospects. Ain't none of them playing the game. Because they was just getting destroyed by IMG. And the thing you got to understand about IMG is, like, on the two deep, the one deep, those the dudes that's going all around America.
Mm-hmm.
The two deep, they parents actually pay the tuition. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
And they was out there still rocking the bells against them dudes when it came down to it. And then we find out that Bishop Sycamore isn't actually a school, which, by the way, not as uncommon as you think. You know that Findlay Prep School?
Nevada.
It's not a school.
Right. It's attached to an online thing. Yes.
Yeah. They have a relationship with a school. But this idea that you have one of these programs that simply exists for prep athletics, but is it actually a school? This isn't unique to them. This isn't that's not the part that's crazy about this. That sort of thing happens. The part that is crazy about this is these cats were running a scam. But they had not prepared. Like, you got two kinds of scams. You tell me if I'm tripping here, okay? You got the kind of scam where you're ready for any question anybody throws at you. Or you got the kind of scam where you insulate it such that you don't have to answer any questions, right? You just stay off the radar. These cats had a scam where they were not qualified to answer any questions, but then went on ESPN.
Just right on the sideline. Right in the middle of the cameras and everything. I mean... The thing is, Bamani, we're saying all this, but keep in mind, it almost worked.
It did work. It scheduled the whole season.
Yeah, right. There's a scenario in which, first of all, Bishop Sycamore is still playing. See, Gabe had it wrong. This story is still unfolding. Just yesterday, Ohio's governing body for high school athletics said that the teams that are on their schedule, they can keep playing them. So this is going to continue to go on and be a thing. You know, like, there's going to be teams lining up every week to play Bishop Sycamore, and you will never see as much excitement about a winless high school team as you will Bishop Sycamore, right? But yeah, I mean, this thing pretty much almost worked. They got on ESPN. There's this platform for them. The only thing that they appear to be missing is A, somebody that doesn't have a history of writing bad checks, and a top recruit. Like, a literally, like, if they just had one, if they had been able to get one, then maybe all of this pays off. But that's where they fell short. I mean, because losing to IMG 58-0, that's not necessarily a huge deal. It's just that being going on there and having nobody, not even one guy, is like, was like, hey, what the hell are y'all actually trying to pull over here?
Joe, they lost 58-0 in large part because they played 2 days before that.
Right.
Right. Who does this? Like that's the thing about, every high school, they sell schedules. You know what I'm saying? Refrigerator magnets, all this stuff, you know, like to let you know when the games are. These fools out here don't want nobody to know when their games are. You know what I'm saying? They don't want anybody to know. Then they'd be like, yo, you can't play 3 games a week.
I mean, dog, imagine looking at a schedule and being like, September 4th, Central High School. September 6th, Modern Day. I mean, who does that? And the second game being the hardest game. Like, yes. At least flip that. At least flip that schedule, please. Dog.
Did you see this where Max Preps says that Bishop Sycamore had the fourth toughest schedule in America? First of all, let's discuss the idea that anybody even compiles this list, right? Let's start there, that we have schedule strength across the nation for high schools. But number two, they got the fourth toughest schedule in America. They ain't just out here playing any old body. They got out here playing like some for real schools. And so I think part of what's amazing to me about this scam is the idea that this is a scam that anybody would run. Like, it doesn't, like, do they play home games? I ain't seen no evidence that they got no home stadium to play no home games to sell no tickets, which means that the only money that's in this is for teams cutting you a check to show up and get blasted. Now, let's talk about the idea that in high school sports, that there's enough money in this to justify even trying to do this. That you're just going to go out here and you're going to be the Washington Generals and go around and play all the different Globetrotters. And there's actually money to be made from this. That to me is like part of the crazy in all of this, is the fact that this is a hustle that anybody would even consider trying or even see the light at the end of the tunnel that says, no, I think we can get some bread off of this.
Right. I think it can go one of a few ways. One, you can attach yourself to a player that will get you out of that situation itself. So I think about, for instance, do you remember? So Gerald Green,
yeah,
soon to be Houston Rocket again, played at a school called Gulf Shores Academy, right? So he did that. The people that were affiliated with that school moved on and did another thing. But they played a school in that time that was called Heritage Christian Academy, which your country itself would know is in Cleveland, Texas.
How would I know? You know, what would I know about Cleveland, Texas? This is on the,
you know,
other
about
side.
I know about Cleveland,
but I don't know about the local parochial schools.
You know,
you
about
wouldn't know the parochial schools.
You know about Heritage Christian Academy. So they had a player called, this, I'm going to dig in a little bit, Von Wafer. Do you remember, yes, Von Wafer?
Yes.
Do you know who the coach was that founded that program?
First of all, I did not know Von Wafer was from Cleveland.
He's not. He went there for a year. He went there for a season, okay?
Got it.
Do you know who started that program?
No.
A guy named Jerome Tang, who is now the assistant at Baylor and has been an assistant for the last 20 years. So you can either get that bag, you can get the I'm going to be on ESPN bag and get that money from the Paragon marketing company, or you can get somebody, an apparel company, to fund you. Like, it's similar to AAU 707 stuff, where if you get just the right player, the right time, there could be six figures in it for you. And that gives you enough money until you got to flesh out your scam, or you could just, you know, pivot a little bit. It absolutely could have worked. There's a lot of ways that you can see, like, okay, I can see how that might work, but it's just that they didn't have none of that. They didn't have nothing going for them.
But like the AAU scam, I get that one. Like, I'll never forget one time I had a meeting with an AAU coach, and I went to his practice and I'm talking to him and we walking out and I'm walking to my car and he walking to his compressor bins. And I'm like, where you work? And, you know, And I think I asked that delicately, something like, so, like, what's up with this? And he explained delicately how he would be able to drive such a fancy automobile where he is coaching games where they don't sell tickets.
Yeah.
You know, and he, but like, I get that when I see where the money comes from. I see the long play that's involved in it for all the parties. You know what I mean? Like, I get that. This had no chance to ever be successful. Like, the only success that they could get is the checks, I would imagine, basically appearance fees that they get for showing up and playing in these games. Like, that's the only money that's there. And so these kids, if you didn't see the story, like, these kids are talking about, some of them were still in school, some of them were not. And it's funny because my man trying to say now that it's not a school, it's a postgraduate football academy.
And there's a lot of those.
First of all, not all of them are postgraduates. And number two, let's just say, them other boys that was out there that are not boys, that are men, they ain't going to no academy. Like, academy is not the term that is used. So they said they had them hold, they boys did interviews. They said they were holed up in some house, like sleeping on the ground. The wildest thing was apparently, and it must be in the hood somewhere, because apparently somebody tried to break into the coach's car. And all the players in there found out. I mean, they noticed what had happened. And so they went and they hemmed the dude up and they stomped him out. And apparently there's video of the dude getting stomped out. And I got to say, I can't imagine for those boys in that house that day that that dude started breaking into coach's car. Because first of all, you know, they just wanted to let him do it. Right?
Like,
none of them like the coach. Right? you know, they had to be like, yeah, there you go. Then you get your car stole. But the coaches deploys them to go out here or make something happen, or all the pent up frustration them dudes had to have. And now we have an opportunity for the true American dream, which is sanctioned violence. Like, we can stomp somebody out and be in the right after we've been getting stomped out week after week.
I was going to say, that's their first W
week.
In forever.
That's their only W. Their only W. Right? And so, like, you see the one, the dude, the quarterback out there looking like Byron Leftwich, like the 250, 260-pound quarterback.
Oh, yeah, homeboy, the defensive line. Yeah.
Yes.
And that went viral before we even knew what the hell they were. Like, it never occurred for us to think, hey, what happened to that guy? Did he go sign it, like, Kentucky or something like that? Nobody ever followed up. This guy was a viral sensation and we never followed up. But, yeah, that's just how. I think that what they're doing actually made a lot more sense. Right, than you do. Like, I think that it had a chance to work. If that guy, that little viral sensation, had actually been really good, if he had been a five-star, there's a scenario in which he helps to recruit other people, and then you can build out a program from there.
But that's when people start looking too close. Like, that's where I disagree, is that if all of a sudden now St. Ignatius ain't getting the star players because now they go into Bishop Sycamore, run by all these Afro-Americans, St. Ignatius, they just gonna be like, damn, they got us. They coming to get to the bottom of this.
Well, this is a little more serious, but like, don't you think that this is a reflection of the death of like local high school football coverage? Because trust, if the Columbus Dispatch had as robust of a preps team as it probably did 25 years ago, there definitely would have been a story about it.
That's a great point.
Those same coaches that would have been complaining or playing those teams and just being like, hey, man, this guy took my second cornerback or whatever. Like, it didn't, in your local town, like, maybe they're not good enough to play against IMG, but maybe that dude is good enough to help you beat your crosstown rival.
Or you just got people reporting on Bishop Sycamore every week.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. You go to practice, ain't no practice. Man,
that's actually the wildest thing.
That dude said in that Complex Sports interview, said they didn't practice.
How do you do that in football?
I don't ever understand. Like, what do you do? Yeah, how do you line up? What plays are you running? How are you playing defense? What are your calls? That is an element. I would love to see somebody explain how you play football without practice, because that is 99% of football. Like, that is the thing that separates great players from good ones, because those are the people that enjoy practice, because that's all you do. Football is all practice. What the hell are you doing if you're not out there, like, going through the motions, at least?
Right. What are you doing with the rest of your time? You're not practicing. You're right. Not going to school.
Right.
What else is there?
Yeah. Right. That's what I was saying. Like, they don't go to school. They're not practicing. I mean, I guess they feel like they're tying up with games. They're just like, wait, man, you guys ain't doing nothing today. We got a game on Wednesday. You try to come to Cincinnati? You know?
What the training staff hitting on?
Wow. trainers? You think they got a trainer set?
That's
got,
what I'm
they
saying.
They got tape. They got tape. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, man, you know how to tape ankles? You know what I'm saying?
They got tape, and they got a bag of quarters to run down to the store and get some ice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, yeah, right. Bring one of them $20 bags back, not one of them tens. We don't need. And I mean, they ain't got a tub, so you know all that. I mean, you know what actually had me thinking? I was just like, Deion is the guy that really pulled this finesse off better than anybody else. Prime Prep was Bishop Sycamore, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it.
But I think that Deion. I think that Deion was legitimately trying to start a school and had no idea what he was doing. And okay. I think he wanted the athletic department around it, obviously. But I think that he was actually trying to get a school started and just wasn't qualified to do that. These cats are like, school? What school? We ain't got no school. We just want to have a football team. And I, why don't y'all just run a 7-on-7 program?
How you going to get tape? Who you going to send tape? Actually, that's another... what are they trying to do? Are they trying to go to college, I assume? Was that a goal? Because they're not in school. Because usually this is called diploma mills, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you're just going through the motions and they're giving you grades and they're just getting you through the clearinghouse so you can get eligible. In colleges, shadily, I might add, will do that. They'll send a kid they like, send him to a diploma mill, get him eligible, and then he can get into college. But if these kids had not even gone to school, I kind of don't see the end game, which makes me think that his plan was just, I'm just going to try something. I'm just going to see if I get a couple dudes, get a team, maybe Under Armour will come through. And the thing that the kid in the Complex Sports interview did say was that a big part of the sales pitch was them getting a Netflix documentary. And so like maybe they were hoping we'll get some notoriety out of this. We'll get some, you know, streaming money out of this. Who knows? So there are ways in which like, it wasn't a total failure, but I kind of don't, like you said, we don't see, what was the end game here? Like, where did they think it was going to go?
Well, here's what I want to know. Who do they know? Because they know somebody. And when I asked that, this is what I mean. When I first saw that this story was playing out, right? Of course, people immediately were coming to like, oh man, ESPN. Come on, man. Are you serious? This operation is not at the point of, well, we need to make sure that high school is a high school. Because it's a very who would do such a thing sort of situation. Like, it's all kinds of things that come up. You're like, why didn't you Google that person? Because people don't do that. Like, as much as you think that people do that, people don't actually do that. There's a measure of trust that we typically exist with.
But, Mike, how big of a priority is high school football at ESPN anyway?
Right. But this is not, like, no, this is, it was nobody's job to get to the bottom of whether or not all these high schools exist. Because again, who would do such a thing? But my question was, why ain't nobody asking nothing to IMG? Because look, for ESPN, I'm looking at just the incentive structure here, and IMG is all ESPN needs to put this on television. Any other team would do. Like, they had no need to go out and find a fake team, right? But I looked at IMG, and I was like, so how'd y'all find them? And then we come to find out, was it Paragon Marketing or something?
Paragon.
Right, this other marketing company. And they're the ones that I don't think have been asked to answer nearly enough questions. Because what I want to know is, how did Bishop Sycamore end up on their radar? Because Bishop Sycamore was supposed to play Duncanville, a big school in Texas, this weekend, like a top 10 type school, and Duncanville canceled it. I think Bishop Sycamore got a couple more games against some of those big monster type of schools. And how do those schools know that Bishop Sycamore exists? They're not just going through Googling who need a game week 3, right?
It's true. Yeah.
There's somebody who knew about Bishop Sycamore. And my question is, how did Bishop Sycamore know about them?
Yeah, I would love to know who's sitting at the table. Is it the person at Paragon? Is it somebody at IMG? I mean, because the thing is, IMG is always trying to fill out its schedule, right? Like, it is very difficult, not only for them to get games, but get games against teams that make it worth their while.
Right.
Right? Like, nobody within a 100-mile radius is playing. If you look at IMG's schedule, they don't play nobody close because don't nobody want to play them. What's in it for you? IMG just played a game this past weekend against a powerhouse in Cincinnati. I mean, they keep going back, though. They done found the marks in Ohio. And they were like, that team at the end of the game, you know, I think it was another blowout. And they were like, nah, we ain't playing them again. Why would we do that? That typically is what happens. And they played Bishop Sycamore the year before. And so the fact that Bishop Sycamore, they, whatever the entity they whatever they had, the fact that they were willing to play them again, like, might just have been enough. Like, it might have not required a lot of diligence because they're like, look, we got to fill out a schedule. We got to get these boys. People are paying money. These boys came here and they're trying to get to Alabama, Florida State. We got to play somebody, so we can't be too picky about who shows up on Friday.
Dog, the fact that this is an industry that exists.
Yeah.
Is yeah. so wild. And I wonder, like, which dude was like, yo, I got it. Because you got to get some partners on board. You got to get some coaches. You see them finger quotes going. You got to get some coaches. And how they are convincing these players and their mamas to just, you know, and they, I mean, daddies too, how they convincing them to come and hold up. And like, I understand there's a measure of desperation, but bro, once you show up and all y'all do is sitting around the house and y'all play two games in a row, what's stopping you from going back home?
Well, the kid that did that, I keep bringing up the complex because that's the only interview I've seen with a kid. He's like, I lost my junior year, but I went back home and he played his senior year. You know what I'm saying? And so I guess, you know, but if you're 20 years old and the only thing you got to do on Friday night is work your shift at Target, then I mean, you might as well, I mean, what, you know, might as well keep showing up. I mean, you might get to live that dream. You know who really like was a man ahead of his time who would have really benefited from this? Ron Weaver. Do you remember Ron Weaver?
Ron Weaver.
Oh, man, you don't know your history, huh? You don't know Joel Ron McKelvey? You know Texas Longhorn great, 1995 Sugar Bowl?
Oh, that's right.
So for people that don't know, because this is actually, man, this we have gotten old. With the University of Texas signed a dude who was actually 30 years old.
Oh, that guy.
You remember that guy? Yeah. And they found out when he played at the Sugar Bowl, they're like, hey, hold on, bro. That's not no Ron Weaver. Oh, that's not no Joel Ron McKelvey. That's Ron Weaver. And he had played at two community colleges, Sacramento State, tried to play in the CFL and did a tryout for the Oilers, figured out that he could use somebody else's name and social security number and played at another junior college and then got on to Texas. I mean, you know what I'm saying? That brother would have really benefited from a program, an institution such as Bishop Sycamore.
Dog, the best part of that story, and Joel slid it in there, I want to make sure you understand this. This man went and tried out for the Oilers and then went back to play college football.
Uh-huh. You know what? Let me just start back over. He's like, that workout might have gone a little bit better than I thought, bro. You know what I'm saying? I might be able to pull something off. So he go to Fort Pierce College, which I think is in L.A. somewhere. I want to say that that's where the brother that used to play for the Giants, Antonio, the linebacker, Antonio Pierce. I might just be saying Pearson.
Let's be careful.
Yeah, right. But Pierce College, went there, and then figured out you don't put enough on tape that the University of Texas found. That is the dream. You know what I'm saying? That brother would have really benefited.
You know what that was, though? Lies you could tell. Yeah. Before the internet, that's right.
But
here's Bishop Sycamore out here with all this internet still telling these lies. And you know what part of it was? This is how we should have known that this was some nonsense, right? The name of the school is Bishop Sycamore, like a tree. You know what I'm saying? It ain't Bishop nobody's name. It ain't Bishop nothing at all tied to the church. Bishop Sycamore. Yeah. But it sounds like a school that plays good football. Like, just when you hear that, sounds like a school that plays good football.
Oh, yeah. Top five program in the greater Columbus, Ohio area. Why would anybody doubt that that's a school that exists? That school's called all kind of stuff. Do you remember Eastern Christian Academy? Like, see, this is another, I'm deep into the scams. Eastern Christian Academy, back in 2012, they tried to build a program around a brother that I know that you're going to remember, David Sills. You remember David Sills, who ended up being an All-American wide receiver at West Virginia. But at the time, he was a top quarterback prospect. And in fact, he was such a good quarterback prospect that Lane Kiffin offered him a scholarship when he was like 13 years old. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And they got that finesse so good that Sports Illustrated wrote about him. And the headline of that story, and I'm going to read it here, Eastern Christian Academy has no field, no home uniforms, no listed phone number. It isn't even a school, just a national football powerhouse. You know what I'm saying? So people have been trying this, man. They've been, I mean, there are people right now are listening to this, watching this unfold, and they're like, oh, I can do that, though.
Yeah.
I can pull it off. I can make it work.
The Bishop Sycamore level to me is they didn't realize everything that would come from playing against high-profile schools.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they had not played that game against IMG that weekend, if ESPN were not there and Logan Bill and them to audibly be like, yo, what is this?
Right.
Nobody would have really thought anything about it. Like, nobody would have really dug into it. But then they went and Googled up that address, and it was a duplex somewhere. And they were like, oh, buddy, we have a problem here. And they still going.
But buddy, they sounded like, what was it when Randall Tex Cobb fought Larry Holmes, and like how Howard Cosell was so disgusted. Oh, this is an outrage. That's how Luganville and them sounded watching Bishop Sycamore play IMG.
And they was calling it from the crib. It's not like they had to get on a plane and go do it. Right. But I wanted, so I guess it must have been Paragon that got the Hall of Fame. Like, that's the thing. They played the game at the Hall of Fame.
On a Sunday, I was like, okay. I mean, somebody knows somebody.
Not even Labor Day weekend, keep in mind.
Right. Right, right. Man, but you make a really good point, man. If they had just skipped that game, if they hadn't just lucked out just enough to get on TV and for people to expose them, they could be playing their games right now without people bothering them.
You know what, though? Give it a couple weeks, they'd be playing their games without nobody bothering them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're still playing. They're still on people's schedule. The other team. I mean, and that's the thing, man. Like, once your schedule is locked in, you kind of, I mean, it's really tough to cancel a game. You only get so many football games, bro. If I was in high school and Bishop Sycamore was still on my schedule, I wouldn't have no concerns. I'm like, look, we got to play somebody this week. Might as well be them.
Here's the thing, though. I'm with you because I'm trying to put us on film. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, this is your opportunity to put us on film. Where I would be worried, though, is it's a lot of stress to be putting the Sycamores under. And at some point, man, these cats going to start playing dirty. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, at some point, they will have had enough. What is clear about the Bishop Sycamore roster is that's a whole lot of dudes with nothing to lose. Because they're at Bishop Sycamore.
I would argue that they love football as much or more than anybody I know. Because if you're going to play football under those circumstances, I mean, bruh, anybody that has played football before will tell you, like, if there's no goal in mind, once your dreams of whatever you envision your career are over, the game becomes that much less appealing. You out there hurting yourself, bro. Like, why would I throw myself on the ground 40 times a day? Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But these dudes are like, well, I didn't finish school, probably not going to go nowhere, but might as well, we're going to play IMG this week. I mean, they love football more than almost anybody you know. I admire their dedication to the game. I don't think they're smart, but I admire how much they love the game.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's something to that. Do they love the game or they just ain't got nothing else to do?
No, they
got
to work. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, these are grown men.
I think that's the moral of the story here. This is how you know they need to start raise that minimum wage to $15 an hour. Because these cats would rather come out here as adults and play high school football for free and go find a job. And I'm not judging them for this, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I want to be clear.
Hey, look, man. I mean, right now, they're just like, hey, man, let's these jobs ain't paying enough. I don't want to be an essential worker. You know what I'm saying? I want to just live the dream a little bit longer. If I knew that there was some goal in mind, if there was something I could do, you know, to get to an SEC school or whatever, even a Sun Belt school, and I knew that I could do it, I might try it. Even at my good 43 years of age,
You going to be like that dude at what it was, South Carolina State or whatever?
Yeah, man, look, bro, every time I pass the stadium, I smell the grass and I just look at the stands and I'm like, boy, we got a little high school right down the street here. I tell my wife, we pass by their practice field. I'm like, boy, I go out there right now, I give them a good 2 yards of carry.
See, I saw this, some dude, I forget what school he's playing for. I want to say like Eastern Washington or something like that. And they say that dude is in year 8.
Ooh, boy.
Of a college career.
You said Eastern Washington?
Eastern Washington, one of those. But he is in year 8, and I'm like, son, go get a job.
Hey, I assume he has a master's at this point, right?
I mean, maybe. I don't know. Son, go get a job. Like, whenever I hear about these dudes, like, oh, he's going to come back for his 6th year. Son, go get a job.
Look, you missed the fundamental lesson of Mo Money. Another old reference. I mean, I'm realizing I'm an old person. The fundamental lesson of Mo Money, a job ain't nothing but work.
What is football, Joel?
Hey, it's a game. Don't they call it a game?
Okay. We playing a game right now. This is like something that you do on game night with your homies. You know what I'm saying? You sit around and tell stories and stuff. Okay, right. Call this a job.
I mean, look, man, I can get the appeal. If you can play football until you can't play football no more, I understand it. Sometimes I get that feeling in myself. Like, you know what I'm saying? If I was 21 years old and these jobs are whacking, you know, I might get COVID. I mean, I guess you get COVID playing football, but I'd much rather get COVID playing football than I would be working a shift somewhere.
Go get a job. I don't want to be that person. I don't like how I feel.
No, you like doing that. You telling them that. Yeah, I mean, you look, man. We already know, but man, you know what I'm saying? I mean, look, that is the Gen X in us. What you doing right there? Go get a job. You know what I'm saying? That's the Gen X in us. You know, it's like when you talk to your older uncles or whatever, and they talk to your shiftless cousins, and they're like, "Well, bro, why don't you go up to the job and go apply? You should go on up. Why don't you go on up there to the, you know, the railroad and apply for something?" And they thinking that, you know, this is the 1974 economy or whatever. That's how you're coming at this,
Joe. Mm-hmm. These dudes was sleeping on the floor. Yeah. In a room full of other, can you imagine what the line to the bathroom was?
Ooh, how many bathrooms do you think they had?
Yeah, or what the bathroom smelled like. So these dudes is laying on the floor after high school to play two games a week of football. Go get a job. Go. I get it. I understand. Most people's jobs aren't fun like our jobs are fun. I recognize this, right? Like, I speak from a measure of privilege, but don't act like I ain't never had no bad job before. I have. Go get a job.
Man, that's a tough thing to tell a brother, man, who's got those football dreams. We sat down watching games. There's a lot of places to play football.
Yeah, I get you, but I'm asking you, I'm being dead up about this. If there was any chance that your dream was going to get fulfilled, would you be laying on the floor with these dudes in this duplex?
Oh, wait, hold on. I want to make sure I know that what you're asking me. If I was going to be one of those kids in Bishop Sycamore, laying on the ground, sleeping on the floor, no pillow, you know, not getting my three squares, but I knew that it might pay off and I might get to go play at Texas State or something like that.
What I'm saying is, if anybody thought you was good enough to make this happen, they would have saved you from laying on this floor.
I mean, you say that even with the internet everywhere and scouts and camps everywhere, some people slip through the cracks, man. And that's the thing that keeps fueling the dream. Man, there's people I see playing CFL for years. And I'm just like, bro, why don't you, you know, I already know what the salaries are there. You could easily tell them to go get a job. But, you know, there's always that chance that you might hit that lick, you know, and I guess they like, I have the rest of my life to work. Until then, I'm going to try to ride this out. You never know.
How about go to school?
Kurt Warner was working in the grocery store.
Yeah.
So, what, didn't John Starks work in the grocery store?
Hold on. He was doing what at the grocery store?
Oh. All right. All right. That's fair. What year was that he was working in the grocery store, though? The 90s? Like, he might have had health care. He might have had health care. For all we know, you know, it was a different time. That might have been a decent job.
He also had his queen holding him down. Right.
He had a family to support. You know what I'm saying? His wife was holding him down. He had a family to support. And he was just like, but you know what? I'm still going to try to make this thing happen, bro. And I think we played at
but
the arena
league. But also, even then, like at all the levels of football he played, he was good at it. Yeah. I have no evidence that these young men are good at football. They're just playing.
Hey, man, that kid that did the interview with Complex, I think he said that he got discovered at one of them Adidas 7-on-7 camps or something like that. So somebody saw some potential in that young man. And that's what he's like, if that dude saw something in me that he liked, then who's to say that somebody else might not see me? Somebody at Kent State. I'm just naming random schools.
Yeah, I understand.
Eastern Illinois.
I understand where you're coming from. Like, I guess I could see how these dudes would get got and to convince themselves that this was the lick. But it also sounds like it wasn't like they held on to the dream for very long after they got there.
Oh, yeah. Well, then that's when reality hits.
Yeah, they got there. It was just like, oh, we got hoes, Timmy. We got hoes.
The way you said that, I was like, what? What? I was like, what happened at Bishop Sycamore? Would you say we got what?
Duh.
I was like, oh, okay. Okay, my bad. I was like, I didn't. Well, I was Bishop Sycamore doing that too. Duh. They did that at University of Louisville. So you never know.
By the way, Presbyterian University is in the news a lot, you know, because they went and hired that coach who don't punt.
They don't punt. Yes, right. They scored 84 points this first.
You know what their mascot is?
Mm-mm.
The Blue Hose. H-O-S-E. The Blue Hose.
H-O-S-E. What is a blue hose?
Because a dude I used to work with used to bring this up about Presbyterian, because rather than call them the Blue Hose, people call them the Hose.
I mean, clearly the people that founded Presbyterian, when they were covered up with this, they would just totally remove. Yeah, right.
But I do feel like after this has happened, like, I know you don't want to feel like you letting stupid people make you change what you doing or whatever, but I feel like y'all need an alternate mascot to use on television. And this would just be what y'all say amongst each other, where, you know, people would treat your name with dignity and respect. But the kids at Bishop Sycamore got hosed.
They got hosed.
Robbed. They got set up. They got the dope. And there's somebody running another one of these hustles that's like, man, don't look over here.
Oh, absolutely. I'm saying, man, look though. Listen, and I want you to see if you ride with me on this, because you are bringing it to the kids. I do want to say that, like, that sucks. Like, I feel bad for them, that I wish somebody, whether it was their parents, youth coach, somebody had looked out for them. But I feel like, and we've named a whole bunch of schools and a whole bunch of people that have tried this sort of stuff, because like you mentioned, Findlay, all these other programs that have tried this. I feel like basically the virtual deregulation of public schools means stuff like this can happen over and over again, because people don't believe in like their neighborhood school no more, or not as much. And so they start looking for these alternatives, like even whether it's athletically or academically, they don't believe in their local homeschool. And they're like, let me go try this. And, you know, Texas high school football coaches, you know, I don't typically ride with high school coaches, because I know that they're, you know, sort of power hungry and they like the system, the way it works, because it benefits them. But there is something to the fact that there are more ways to hold people accountable if you're going to your local homeschool.
Yes.
And this fragmentation leads to this sort of like this fraud stuff. But that goes beyond athletics, like just the academic portion of this, the online learning programs, that stuff is a fraud too. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like the lack of trust that people have in public schools is a lot of the reason why we're here, and we're hearing about a lot of this stuff.
I feel like if we've learned anything, is that they'll find you.
Yeah.
If you can ball,
yeah,
they'll find you. Like, Alabama might not find everybody. You know what I mean? Like Florida State or Florida, whatever, they might not find everybody, but somebody gonna find you. Like, I will just never forget. Did you watch that game when Ohio State played Buffalo and everybody was like, who is that?
Khalil Mack.
Yeah. Right. Like, yeah. I mean, to this day, I got no idea how he wound up there. But my point being, again, they will find you wherever it is. They found Eric Swan playing semi-pro ball in 1991. You know, they will find you if that's the place that you're going to wind up going. And so whenever I hear about these kids going to like IMG and all these places, because to me, the second that you leave your school to go play football is the day that this becomes a job. That's the day they stop caring about grades or any of that stuff right there, because you have laid bare what the game is, what is important, what is to be prioritized. If you stayed at your local school, they would have found you. So you and I talk all the time about this dude from Houston named Ben Gay. Yes, like the ointment, right?
Yeah,
Ben Gay. That was his name. Ben Gay went to Spring High School. Now, Spring High School now is nothing like what Spring High School was back then. That's where Josh Beckett went to high school. But they were a 5A school, which is the highest division in Texas. But they were terrible always. Terrible year after year after year, except for Ben Gay. Ben Gay was a running back and was like first team all city. You know how good you have to be to play on a sorry football team as a running back and still be that guy, right? And did he even wind up playing in college?
I feel like, well, so we know that he signed with Baylor, but you know, it was in the dumb days when Baylor would be signing a whole bunch of people.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden they didn't show up on campus. So I think that was one of his, I think that was his situation. He wasn't eligible.
Yeah, I don't remember him actually playing anywhere. Ben Gay still got to the league. Like, Ben Gay still played a year or two, like, you know, kind of getting on rosters or whatever it was. And he was just like a Houston Chronicle legend.
Yeah. I think he had a pretty good game in the NFL with the Browns once.
Right, right.
That's how that story came out at one point.
Right. But they'll find you. And so whenever I hear about all these things that people do to send these kids to these places to play school ball, first of all, the summer is really where a lot of the action is taking place anyway. But I just don't feel like you have to do these things in order to get your kid to the league.
That's true. I mean, I think that's right. But I do think that, you know, there are some people who maybe they get found, but they don't like how they're found. So maybe your coach slots you as a Division II athlete, your local school. But there's another guy that says, hey, man, look, you better than that, bro. I can get you to Coastal Carolina or whatever. And so there can always be somebody in your ear that can convince you that you can do better.
But to me, the better part doesn't really matter.
But it does, because it's really hard to be on a team and know that, feel like maybe I'm not being used, or I'm not getting to display all of my talents.
Right, but yeah,
I'm jealous of my teammate who's going on to Colorado or some Pac-12 school. You telling me that I got to go to East Texas State or whatever the hell?
Yeah, I know all of that. And I'm saying is, if you go to East Texas State, if you got it, you still going to get to the ultimate place of where you're trying to go. I understand what people are shooting for. I understand what they're fighting for. I'm just saying, in the end, and you're going to wind up going to IMG or wherever these places, not even really getting no burn because they got all these other people. And then the kids whose parents actually pay tuition, they making sure they get on the field too. Like, what you right. don't want to be is the second pro caliber player at a position at IMG, because in between you and number one is going to be some other kid, right? Yeah,
right?
Right. Whose daddy's name is on a building somewhere or something to that effect. It's the lag. I know we got to wrap, but this is something I've been thinking about with Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State dominate recruiting, like where there's a giant gap between them and Clemson, or a giant gap between them and Texas and Oklahoma and everybody else. They just get everybody because everybody's going for the same thing. Everybody trying to get to the league. And so what happens is, if everybody has the same purpose for something, then they're all going to go to the same place.
Right.
If Alabama's established as the best place to go for you to get to the league, then everybody's going to try to go to Alabama. And Alabama's demonstrated, even if you don't get all the playing time in the world, we still going to get you to the league, which means you got less wear and tear, you know. But then everybody wants to go to these places, and then the trickle down goes after that. But that's what happens when everybody's trying to go to the league. Nobody's like, hey, I want to, you know. The guys, hey, I want to stay at home. Hey, this is my favorite school. Hey, this is what it is. Nah, everybody trying to go to the league. And I get it. The money's so big that it's not the worst idea in the world for you to make that play. But for most of y'all, man, most of y'all need to get y'all nose in these books. But everybody thinks that they going to be the one.
Well, it's really hard to be self-aware. Well, I shouldn't say that, because oftentimes, athletes have a much better understanding of where they are in the hierarchy than everybody else. But sometimes people can convince you, and sometimes people can talk you out of that. And that's how you end up where it is. And then, you know, your family, they're like, well, baby, you were really good. You could do something with this, you know, and they're hyping you up in a way. And they may make you make some choices that maybe people didn't make 20 years ago. But in all fairness, when we were coming up, a lot of these options just weren't available.
That's true.
So I don't know what it would have looked like if you'd been able to just transfer and show up someplace and play. You know, like maybe you would have done something else.
Nah, I get you. And all that hyping up helps people achieve dreams. That's how Joel worked his way all the way up to being a semi-finalist in the Right Time Charity Trivia Contest. That was won by your boy.
Play Austin, Texas game. They get so your boy can celebrate. You know what I'm saying?
That's Joel Addison. Check him out. Slate working on the next season of that Slow Burn on the 1992 Los Angeles riots. Or have you gotten to that point where you start calling it an uprising? Because people get sensitive about you calling it a riot.
It depends on who I talk to. Unrest for certain people and rise with others.
There we go. But ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. We do this thing 3 times a week, Gabe Bassan and Dave Presley, heading everything behind the scenes. Thank you, gentlemen. Remember, follow The Right Time. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. And we'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or follow on the ESPN app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.